Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and they're ready and fired up. So
we're going to
get started tonight. Last week, we were talking about, as we were the past 2 weeks, what is truth. We were talking about the fact that Christ as truth, who stood before Pilate, that was in John 18, I think 38, who was on trial, Christ was on trial by the Jews who sent him to Pilate, who was the governor. The high priest sent him there because the Jews wanted him killed because he said he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. So Pilate stands there and wonders why are they condemning him for that. There was no reason. He found no fault. So as Christ stood before him, Pilate asked, what is truth? And we said last week that Pilate asked out of, he wasn't living for God. He wasn't seeking to live for God. He was a type of the sinner. So as a sinner with truth standing before them, they are unable to recognize him. Okay? That's the norm because man is unredeemed. But then in John chapter 6, which we're going to tonight, we see that he's dealing with Jews who are of the nation of Israel, and they were the ones called by God. He handpicked them out and to evangelize the world, so they should have recognized him. But here again, we see him as truth standing before his very people, and they still don't recognize him, nor are they able to embrace him. Now, the difference is Pilate was not brought up with the Old Testament from Genesis through Malachi. Pilate was not brought up seeking Christ as a redeemer. He was seeking the gods of a world system. So we can understand why he didn't recognize Christ as truth. But to his own, he came, and his own did not recognize him. And it was a willful ignorance. It was a willful rejection of Christ as the living word, as truth. The analogy we can look at, if we look at the woman at the well, the difference in response was based upon the heart, the conditions of the heart. And so this is why we're here in John chapter 6, because God or Christ demands that we arise to the occasion of embracing him as truth. And this is why it's important to see that faith in him and what he would do at Calvary, the size of a mustard seed, could move a mountain. They didn't even have that. You understand? They didn't have faith enough in Christ, even the size of a mustard seed. Had they had faith in him, they would have embraced him, even though it may have been the size of a mustard seed. Okay? So it's just saying that if you had faith in the cross, in Christ and his coming as the Redeemer, just the size of a mustard seed, and we know the size of a mustard seed is very small. Had they had it just that amount, God could have worked mighty, mighty miracles and done mighty things in their hearts and lives. So the point I want to make tonight is proper faith will bring about proper growth. If I do not embrace him, and we're looking at this example tonight, if I can't embrace him as the bread of life coming down from heaven, and I try to understand and comprehend him intellectually or based upon my own precepts and my own mindset, these things hinder a person from embracing him in totality as truth, as the way, as the life. So if I can't embrace him, I cannot, and I don't walk in obedience, I cannot grow in him. That makes sense?
Yes.
So you have a lot of people trying to embrace Christ as truth, but they only want him for the material things. They're only basing upon the fleshly understanding, the fleshly concept that they have of him. They saw him perform a miracle that fed them when they were physically hungry. Now, the woman at the well was physically thirsty, okay? But she was able to comprehend. See how he reached her? He reached her at her level where she was. And here he tried to reach them where they were. God will always reach us no matter our level, sinner or saint, where we're at. So we will be without excuse. See this? We will not be able to judge God and say, you never did this to me and expose this to me and never told me and da da da. We will be without excuse. He will be justified. See, so here Christ brings it down to their level by using bread or manna, and he even takes it because they ask, what sign will you do or show? Our fathers, you know, Moses provided manna from heaven. They saw the physical aspect of it, but they did not see him as the living word coming down from heaven, as the bread of life, see, because they could not comprehend. And this was due to a lack of maturity or a lack of, see, the Holy Spirit is responsible for maturing us up, but he can only do it. Remember, the Paracletus, that's what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can only, his job is to come alongside us. He's not just going to, we snap our finger and then boom, he perform it. No, he needs faith in order to move. And when he has faith, he's going to come alongside you and say, come on, come, I'm coming to help you and assist you to arise in faith. Not I'm coming to just perform a miracle. See this? And they just wanted the miracles, but they did not want to change and to embrace God and his redemption plan through Jesus Christ. So we're going to go back to John chapter 6. Any questions before we get there?
Well, Ms. P, that's the same way it is now. Amen. We want God to perform a miracle, but we don't want to live for him. We don't want to trust him. We just want him to do what we want him to do for us. I need to be healed. I need money. I need a house. I need a car. We want right. all this stuff, but will we live for him?
That's right. Amen. 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 So living for him and growing in him is based upon how much you take what he's given and embrace it or apply it. To live it out practically. It's not just to get it in our head and say yes, but it has to be applied practically. So we're going to look at this example and see how they missed it, okay? So let's start at verse, I said 52.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay, now look at this, because we see in verse 52 they strove, because he told them that he was the living bread which came down. And he said in verse 51, he said he came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. But he noticed, he says in verse 51, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And John 3:16 tells us that he died for the world, right? When he died on the cross, he would die and he would atone for sin for the entire world. All we have to do is by faith believe it and embrace it and accept it. But notice they strove among themselves and they murmured among themselves, right? Then look at what they said. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now they're trying to take a spiritual concept and understand it according to a fleshly mindset.
Right.
They're comparing apples to oranges. There's no comparison. And so they're looking at this, and we do the same thing today. We take, God is talking about spiritual things in our life, and he tells us to not take the Lord's Supper unworthily. We look at it just the physical, as we said before. But he's talking about discerning how to apply the cross in my day-to-day living, embracing him. He says, if you lose your life for my sake, then you will find true life, right? Yeah. So what is he saying? He's telling us that if we stop trying to fight to have our way, stop depending on our what we think should be done and how we think it, stop looking at things from a human perspective. Remember Peter? He said, I must go to the cross and I be raised up in 3 days. And first thing Peter said, far be it for you to go to the cross. He said, get behind me, Satan, for you say of not the things of God, but the things of man.
Wow. Amen.
And oftentimes we have to be careful, because we can look at something that God is dealing with in the in the spiritual, we'll look at it from a natural perspective, and it'll hinder. God rebukes that whenever we look at things from a human perspective. Whenever we look at a situation and we just give up on it, he said, cast not away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. In other words, don't cast away your flesh. I mean, your faith. Put your focus in the cross, because that's when God works best. See?
Yeah.
So he has to humble us in strength and raise us up in weakness. I heard a preacher say that. So we need to be humbled in strength, and the natural inclination of every born-again believer is to, what must I do to work the works of God? Don't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
We get saved, and the first thing we want to see, this is the flesh. He has to teach us how not to depend upon flesh. That was the purpose of him coming in the flesh as the Son of Man and the Son of God, but as the Son of Man to show us how he did not rely on his deity or his powers as God, but he relied solely upon the Holy Spirit as a human being.
Amen.
He yielded his right to be right for the will of the Father. The reason why he didn't come back at them when they smacked him and hit him and pulled the beards and off his face and they called him everything and they whipped him and put the crown of thorns, because he laid aside his right to defend himself in order to accomplish the will of God.
Amen.
He said, told Pilate, you have no power over me other than if my Father had not given it to you. He said, I'm only allowing you to do this because I came to lay down my life.
Wow. Amen.
See this? So Pilate and them and all those who came to kill him, he was saying, hey, this is the purpose for which I came. I can't, you don't have power over me. I simply lay it down. It's called the kenosis in the Greek. It means self-emptying. He emptied himself. This is the life that Christ or God wants the believer to live here on earth, where we're empty, we're decreasing daily by allowing, by evidence and faith. And the Holy Spirit will put to death the deeds of the flesh. And then when he puts those things to death, it leaves or give away for the Holy Spirit's desires to come forth so that the will of God can be accomplished in our life.
Yes.
The problem that God has with many of us as saints is that we're in the way.
Yes.
And we don't want to get out of the way. We want to live our lives the way we want to. We want to build our ministries the way we want and desire. And we are wrestling with God to bless us, but we don't want to hold on till he break us.
Uh-huh.
See this? We wrestle with God. Bless me, Lord. But unlike Jacob, we can't admit who and what we are. God asked, the angel asked Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And his name meant trickster, supplanter. When we embrace the message of the cross of Christ as truth, we have to admit who and what we are. And these people were not willing. They were fighting and striving amongst themselves because they wanted self on the throne. They wanted selfish desires. They wanted to embrace Christ only if they could make him a king, force him to be what they desire him to be. See, that's the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said simply, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood and believe on him whom God has sent, they didn't want that.
Wow.
So God's remedy for the flesh is to is the cross. The cross nails. We have to be crucified daily. It is so easy for us to get in the flesh. So easy as a Christian. It's so easy for us to just revert back to fleshly lust, desires, outlook, the way we see things. And because our surrounding, if you're walking by what you see, you'll easily transition from the spirit to the flesh in a heartbeat. It's based upon obedience. The longer I hang out in obedience, the longer I'm obedient to the command of God and walk in the way of God, the slowly but surely you'll see that that dependence upon the flesh will decrease.
Yes.
You'll stop being agitated and irritated by little things that, you know, just of no concern.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
stop paying, focusing more on what majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. Well, you see, and this is so, let's go to, you stopped there. He said in verse 53, Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Mm-hmm. So if I am not applying faith and embracing Christ as truth on a day-to-day basis when circumstances and situations come, if I'm not willing to lose my life as I know it, I may get, somebody may hurt my feelings, they may, mistreat me. I can't, if self is crucified, it doesn't matter because it's not about me. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we're so easy to get agitated and irritated. They didn't treat me this way. You saw how she looked at me? They didn't acknowledge me. And it could be just that they were zoned out in their own world, doing, you know, focused on the Lord or whatever. They weren't even thinking about us. But the enemy uses us and our emotions to keep us there, and we are hindered and not able to do what God called us to do because we're focused on self.
So true. Amen.
So he's saying, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If I am not focused on him, his desire, his will, and we're going to see this tonight, it says Christ would give himself on the cross for the salvation of mankind. To fully believe in him and what he did for us is what he means here. That's all he's saying. So this verse tells us the degree of believing that is required. It refers to the cross being the total object of one's belief. Failing that, there is no life in you. See that? He has to be the total object. So if he's the total object, you will walk away and walk and do what he tells you to do, regardless of what people think, regardless of what they say. You're not hindered by emotions and feelings and all these things. Because why? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in this body of flesh, how am I going to live it? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is why he tells the church, go back to your first love.
Yes.
If we love him and embrace him and eat his flesh and drink his blood, meaning discerning his body, and realizing that total victory comes by placing my total object of faith in him. I'm not walking by how I feel nor how it looks, but I trust him because, remember, if I'm walking by faith, it's not going to appear the way that I want it to look. So it's a normal thing. If it's not appearing the way that I want it to look, then that's an opportunity for me to exhibit faith and trust. Faith works when there seems to be no hope.
Ooh, amen.
That's when faith works, because now I got to trust God when there is nothing else, no footing, nothing for me to stand on but the word.
Yes.
So let's keep going. Verse, was it 54?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
So it says again, he's putting emphasis or reiterating that if the cross is not the total object of one's faith, such a person has eternal. If it is, such a person has eternal life. If the cross is your total, what do we mean by total object? Meaning that you and I can't vacillate between trusting in the flesh. One day I trust him, the next minute, oh, Lord, I don't know about this, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory. So if I walk, remember David and how he progressed in faith. He killed the lion. See, this, him being a shepherd out in the wilderness with the sheep represented his relationship that he had with God. And it was humble. His profession as a shepherd showed humility, okay? And so he's out there with sheep, okay? And so by doing God's will out there with sheep that just, you know, grazing, pooping, doing whatever. You got to direct them and all this stuff. That's not one of the, you know, his brothers were in the military, in the army. They were, hey. But he was out there watching the sheep. And when a wolf or whatever would come, a bear, a lion, guess what? He had to pass that test first.
Wow, amen.
So the relationship that we have with him helps us first to deal with the inward foes, the little things that agitate us from the in, because if I can't deal with the inward foes, how am I going to deal with the external foes?
Amen.
See, it grows.
Yes.
I have to mature in faith. And let's keep going because you're going to see how these people only wanted him for the meat, the physical bread and meat. Let's keep going.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Okay. Now, in Luke 9:22 or 23, it says here, and you don't have to turn there, but you can read on your own time. It says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me. See, they were coming after him. And it says the criteria for true or discipleship. Let him deny himself. See? And it says, but rather that one denies one's own willpower, self-will, strength, and ability. And you have to depend totally on Christ. That's what it means to have Christ as your total object of faith. You're not depending on your efforts, your willpower, your own strength, your self-will, your ability. See, this is where a lot of people in ministry fail. They're trying to, they may have been called, but they skip the process of being humble.
Wow. Amen.
They may have, God may have called them and may have saved them and have called them to do something. But when we bypass, see, Jacob was called, but Jacob had to be broken. Christ was called, but Christ became broken bread and poured out wine. See this? So when he fed the thousands of folks, he took the bread, he blessed it, and then he broke it. Then he distributed it. A lot of people trying to, you know, be blessed, but then they trying to bypass the brokenness and distribute
mm-hmm.
themselves in their gifts, ability, what have you. But they bypass having Christ as their total object of faith. And he says here in Luke 9:23, if you're going to come after me, and this is what he's telling them here, when he says you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's simply saying if you embrace the cross, that means that you're going to have to deny yourself. Deny your willpower. Deny your strength and ability. This is what Jacob was on. Jacob, see, because he trusted in the flesh, his own strength and ability, he met someone that was more of a schemester than himself, Laban. And this will happen to us. The more we rely on the flesh and trying to live for God, see, God had prophesied that Jacob, that the older would serve the younger. It was prophesied when they were born, because Esau came out first and Jacob grabbed him by the heel and came and took advantage and came out right over him. So that's how his name was Jacob. He was a heel catcher or heel grabber. Okay. And so after it was prophesied that the older would serve the younger, but why did his mom and dad, see, they thought they could help. Or the mom and Jacob thought they could help God bring about the promise. So they planned a scheme when they pretended to be Esau. Y'all remember this story?
Mm-hmm.
That's self-will. That's strength and ability. Trying to get the will of God to come to pass in your own efforts, your own willpower. This is us today. True, you met your call. God has a promise or prophesied over your life and made a promise, but we take it upon ourselves to help God.
mm-hmm.
And so what happened? The flesh caused him to meet someone who was twice as of a schemer than himself. He ended up staying there for years. This is God saying, if you want to follow me, okay, you're going to have to deny yourself, Jacob, And eventually you see Jacob running away from Esau, running away from Laban. Now he got not only Laban on his heel, he had Esau on his heel. This is the work of the flesh.
Amen.
It doesn't resolve anything. It doesn't bring victory. It brings heartache. It brings animosity. It brings strife. You see this?
Yes.
And so he at the same time pray, oh, Lord, but then at the same time he takes, okay, go take him some gifts and let's try to appease and calm him down. You see, he had to get to the point where he rested.
Yes.
Where he stopped and he ceased from his own labor, his own willpower. And when he laid his head upon that rock and God got him to the position where he needed to be, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. You see that?
Amen.
Yes. God had already dealt with Esau, but Jacob had to rest. So this is God saying, if you're going to come after me, he's telling these folks, you're going to have to deny yourself. Take up the cross, his cross, the benefits of the cross. The only way we can take the benefits is that I first deny self. Remember, the only way to God the Father is through Christ. The only way to Christ is through the cross. And the only way to the cross is through this process, a denial of self.
Yeah.
So he says, take up his cross and follow. Take up his cross daily. See this? We have to daily take up the cross and daily follow him.
Amen.
So it's a daily thing. It's not a one-time. See, this is not talking about our justification. Once you're justified, you're justified. The problem that God has with the believer is in his sanctification walk. We don't want to get rid of self, will, willpower, strength, and ability. So let's go back to verse 50, where we stop at. I think it was, we're on 58.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
Uh-huh.
This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Okay, so we see again, it's a daily denial of self, a daily picking up of the cross, and a daily following. If we do that, we shall have eternal life. Whatever hang-up and hook-ups that we had, whatever struggles, they should lessen the more we deny self, pick up the cross daily, and follow him.
Amen.
The more we do that, things should get better, okay? So Christ is that bread which came down from heaven. Now let's keep going.
These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus
okay.
knew.
Okay, let's stop right there. So, now notice. It's hard in our own efforts, our own strength, and our own ability. God never required for us to do this in our strength. He knew we needed a power source that's greater than our spirit, our might, and our power. So that's why he says it's not by spirit, our spirit, not by our might, but by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can only give us his or impart his strength when I'm weak, when I decrease, when I deny self. Remember, the flesh and the spirit war one against another. And it causes the believer, if you're in a struggle, you can't do the things that the spirit wants you to do. Because the desires are contrary one to the other. So you got the Holy Spirit that has desires, and then you have the flesh that has desires. And so this is the struggle that these people have right now. They got their own will and desires they want fulfilled, but the Spirit of God desires are contrary to what they want because they just want God to fix their problems and give them the bread forevermore, but they don't want to be changed. That's how we are today. We just, Lord, fix it. Lord, fix it. But nobody wants to go through the process of being changed. He says you got to go through some things because if you go through, you're going to apply faith. And when you apply faith, it brings about growth.
Amen.
See that? So it says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, and it says, spoke of those other than the 12, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? It says, they were unwilling to accept the bloody death of their Messiah or to entrust themselves to a divine personality whose most distinctive act would be his sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
This was the gross and terrible offense which made the cross a stumbling block to the Jews. See? They want to deal with that blood. They didn't want to deal with, just like Cain. Cain didn't want to kill that the lamb that God required, but he was okay killing his brother. They didn't want to embrace him as a suffering savior. So, but yet they supported having him crucified. See that?
Amen.
This is how we are today. And so God says, if you put me as your total object of faith, get rid of yourself, allow me to take over, allow me to rule you in your heart, then I will give you the power to say no to sin and yes to Christ.
Amen.
Verse 61, and then we're going to go over somewhere else in a second. Verse 61.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you?
Oh, my. You see that? They were willing to start with Christ and follow him, but they were not willing to finish it.
Amen.
Why? Because the word and truth hit an area of their heart and life that they did not agree with. See, so I say you and I have to trust him whether we agree with him or not. See?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say you agree with him or not, I'm meaning that if there is registered unbelief, you're going to have to trust it. What did the man say? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me in this area of unbelief. And God saw that as faith because he was willing to admit there's unbelief here. Now, what they're doing, they're not admitting it. They simply were offended by the word or truth and said, it's a hard saying. Who can hear this? Who can hear it? And it says, he said unto them, does this offend you? Let's go to Matthew 13. He said, does this offend you? And most people, if they're not offended by when somebody come preaching the word and they come saying certain things or they say something that's contrary, they're offended by not that person or that messenger, but it's the word of God, because
mm-hmm.
something in your heart does not match with the word. Something in our heart does not match with. So when that offense, you feel something rise up, and it can be any subject, and if it causes that thing to rise up in you, that's an area of the heart that you and I are not allowing God to touch, so we become offended.
Amen.
You'll find fault with people, you'll find fault with situations, circumstances, or if they ain't doing you, you'll find fault, you'll fall out. And what it is there's something in us that's offended.
And speaking, when somebody come preaching the truth at a church and the church know that it's the truth, they won't bring them back.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because the word found them out. The word found them out. And so instead of being transformed and being broken so that God can bring us up in our heart and make us Christ-like, they became offended and they left Christ alone. Okay?
Wow.
So let's go to what I say, Matthew 13. Let's start at verse 13 because I want us to see earlier, let me see, they couldn't hear Christ. And there's a reason why they couldn't hear or understand what he meant by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And let's see in verse, let's see here, 13.
Therefore, speak I to them in parables. Because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand.
So in other words, it says, in order to separate those who hunger and thirst for righteousness from those who don't, This is why he spoke in parables. That is, they do not wish to see or hear or understand. And hence, by a just judgment, they lose this triple moral ability to see, to hear, and understand. They didn't want it. There's a reason why they didn't want it, and we're going to keep going, and you'll see why they didn't want to hear it and see it and understand it. Verse 14.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.
Now, in verse 13 in the Amplified, it says, this is the reason that I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand. So, in other words, also, they continue to hear and hear and hear, and because they kept hearing the word, and they were ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See this? This is what made their hearts wax gross. Because they kept hearing, but they never acted on what they heard. So they kept hearing the word. They got all this knowledge, but when you don't act on the word, you know the scriptures in your head. You'll quote them, you'll amen. But you become dull and your heart becomes gross or heavy, or there's a spiritual dullness and a rejection simply because you'd be like, oh, I know that scripture, I heard it, but you don't know the spiritual meaning.
Wow, amen.
So you keep,
amen.
You go to church and you can say all these cliche-ish things and over, but there's no change because there's no application. You're not hearing for the purpose of being changed. So you have the power to see, the power to hear, and the power to understand, but because you don't want, it's a willful deafness, a willful blindness, because you refuse to embrace him as truth and become offended by it. Y'all see that? This is what their problem was. And so in verse 15, did you read that already, Sister Cherry?
Not yet.
Okay. This tells us why they weren't able to embrace him as truth.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.
Now, notice in the Amplified, it says in verse 14, he says, in them indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand. And you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. For this nation's heart has grown gross or fat and dull, and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears, and grasp and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them. So, in other words, they were closing it. You know how it is? We don't want no truth. We don't want to look at something because it's going to require you to act on it. You don't want to know what's going on and what people doing and what the religious people are doing, because it's going to require you to act.
Wow.
So what they did was they didn't want to confront the Pharisees in their wrongdoing. They wanted to remain comfortable because their livelihood was tied with their church. The church and state was tied together. So if they came against the church or rebelled, they would be excommunicated.
Right.
So remember the parents of the blind man?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to rub the Pharisees the wrong way because there was something put out. If they came against, they would be excommunicated. So they said, ask him. When the Pharisees came, said, is this your son, and was he born blind? And they said, we know this is our son, and he was born blind, but how he was healed, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. And the scripture says they said it because they were afraid that they would be excommunicated from the church. See this?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this is an example of hearing, seeing, but you don't comprehend. Why? Because you don't want to be held accountable to responding and acting on truth. These people didn't want to. See, had they embraced Christ, guess who would have came against them? The Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And if the church, Pharisees killed Christ, everybody that followed Christ, what Peter do? The disciples scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Peter over there by a barrel, warming up, trying to see from afar off, and the girl say, yeah, he was with them too. And we do the same thing. We can't stand the pressure of the world. We can't stand the pressure of the church world. We just conform with what everybody does, all this stuff happening in our nation, and we stand, and nobody will say nothing. And we just go along with the flow, talking about the church. And God is saying, that's evil, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so darkness continues to push and prevail because nobody stands against. We shut our eyes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We close our ears. See that?
Amen.
Now, we'll talk amongst ourselves about what the pastor doing and what they're doing in church. It ain't right. When it's time to confront, everybody scatters. Everybody's scared. But he says here, he says, and their eyes they have closed deliberately, lest at any time, if at any time they should see with their eyes. God wants them to see with their eyes and hear with their ears so that they can understand with their hearts and then be converted. And guess what? I can heal. If I'm converted, I will. What did he tell Peter? When you are converted, Satan's asked to sift you as wheat. But I pray that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you turn back to the right way, when you put aside your wrong way of thinking, Peter, when you realize that you are in error and now you are ready to embrace my way, he says, and I should heal them.
Amen.
This is what God is calling the church to do.
Yeah.
Come out from amongst that corruption. Don't stand for what's corrupt in this world system. If they hate you, they hated me. Rejoice.
Amen. But
if they don't want to embrace you because of your beliefs and where you stand, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, if you come to your senses and realize there has to be a change of your heart and your mind and your opinions and your biases, and now I can heal you.
Amen.
You see that?
Yeah.
So we have to, and let's also go. Let's go down to, verse 18. Now he's talking about the conditions of their heart. Remember, they were offended by Christ. Verse 18.
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh he, the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
So this is the condition of the first hearer, see, the first set of people. Christ sows the seed. The seed was sown by the wayside, meaning it landed on a hard path. They didn't even care to understand it. Satan watching and saw this, and immediately came the wicked one, and he catch away that which was sown in his heart. It says, refers to Satan being allowed to do such a thing by the individual involved. The individual. See that?
Mm-hmm.
It says the initiative does not lie with the Lord or with Satan, but with the person. So we can't blame Satan nor God. God sows the seed, or he allows the word of God to be preached, truth, but it depends on you and how and your heart condition whether you will receive it or not.
Amen.
Let's keep going.
But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anoint with joy receive it.
So that person, this is the second group. They heard the word, but it was received in stony places, okay? And they heard the word and immediately or anon with joy they received the word. So they made a great start, but then they fall by the wayside. This is why you have to have continued faith daily. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, because it's so easy to go by the wayside. This is why you have to be under a verbal message or teaching that will expound Jesus Christ and Him crucified daily, so that you and I we can grow up in the faith. See, no longer be children tossed to and fro. Satan does not want us to become mature adults or mature men and women of the faith. He wants us to remain as babes, and we'll see this in a second. Now, what happens to this second group? This person received the seed. It sounds like these disciples that followed Christ for the miracle, right? They received the seed. They received Christ. And because they did not have root in themselves, so there were stones there. So the purpose of the word, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. I with meekness receive it. That's what they did. But I have to daily receive the word, because the word is quick. It's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, the purpose is to bring to surface the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So there was a stone. That's what the word said. Boom, stone. There's a stone there. Allow me to uproot it. And this is where these people were that tried to follow Christ for the meat, physical meat. He was trying to address the stone in their heart. So, but endures for a while. It says he hears the word of God, believes it, and accepts Christ. It is all done with joy, but then something happens. For when tribulation or persecution arises, why does tribulation and persecution arise? In verse 21.
Because of the word.
See that? Everything that happens in the life of the believer is allowed or caused by God. Why? The persecution and the tribulation arises because of the word. The word is trying to penetrate the stone or whatever's there in the heart. We all have stuff in us that's contrary to God. Every day, whether God removes it or not depends upon your stubbornness, your rebellion, your willingness to allow him to remove it. If there's stubbornness and rebellion, then and you don't allow him to remove it, there's no growth. So we will have a form. We will fake it till we make it. We will go through the motions of church and ministry. We will go through the motions of I'm there and I've arrived. But because of the tribulation and the persecution which arises because of the word, by and by, immediately, he is offended. But Christ asks him, are you offended? This is where many of us as Christians get stuck. And we don't know how to progress on. Why? We're offended. We're offended whether it's a relationship. We're offended. Well, it doesn't matter what it is, what people do to us. We're offended by what was said. And all it is God using the tribulation and the persecution, because he's trying to address a stone in the heart. Oh, there's some hardness. There's something there that needs to be uprooted, cast down, thrown down.
Yes.
And until you and I allow him to address this stony heart, then there can be no growth. This is where the word of God has to be applied. And he says, if you lose your life for my sake, don't worry about what people think of you. Don't worry about losing the title and the position. Don't even worry about if you have to give up everything. Because a lot of the stuff that we have acquired and accomplished on our own wasn't God. And most of the time, we have to lose it. Paul said, everything that he had gained, he counted as a loss just to gain Christ. Amen. Everything that was advantageous to him, his Pharisee position titles, him being born a Hebrew of Hebrew, circumcised the eighth day, see, of the stock of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning the law, he thought he was blameless. You see that?
Amen.
Those were stones that offended, that God had to remove. And had Paul thought it was an offense, it would have been an offense of the cross, and he would not have been converted. and mightily used by God to affect a whole bunch of people. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot allow the offenses, see? Can't allow these offenses to hinder us in our walk. That's all they do. When we can't forgive people, when we can't move on, when we just take everything personally that happens and we just, oh, it's about me. They did this because of me. It's not. It's in your head.
Amen.
All of that's in your head. And what
Amen.
God is saying is, he Amen. Says, for when Amen. Tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. And what happens? It stops the word from growing. He don't go any further with them.
Amen.
Keep going.
22.
Uh-huh.
He also that receives seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
So the first one that received it with joy because of tribulation and persecution arose because of the word, he got offended. So growth stopped. Now this group, it says they received the word among thorns. And this person, these people, they heard the word. It said he receives the word. The soil is fertile and good with plenty of depth. The other one did not have the depthness. Okay, he said, yet has he not root in himself. So because of the stones and stuff, there was no root. There was no way that the word could get planted. So the roots had to, the stone had to be removed. This one has the root, and it has the depthness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the care of this world, ways of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, deceitful simply because the acquiring of such makes a person believe erroneous things.
Mm-hmm.
So it does what? It chokes the word, or it stops its growth, and he becomes unfruitful and eventually lost. And that's in John 15:2-6. You see that? So these people that followed Christ for the meat, physical meat only, were put in these two categories, or three. We know they received him, so these two right here, stony and thorny. And they did not receive Christ as truth or the word.
Amen.
God will not invade or override your will. So the word, it stops its growth. Being offended and the cares of the way of this world, this is why we can't get caught up in this world system. There's so much in this world system, and behind the scenes, they are pulling the strings of Hollywood. They're pulling the strings of sports. They're pulling the strings of the political realm. They're pulling the strings of everything. And the enemy will try to suck up the church. But the church has to expose, reprove the works of darkness. He said, come out from amongst it. So I don't care. We can't get caught up in the personalities of these people, but it's about the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, and those things, if we get caught up in the care of it, then these things can choke the word of God, and we become unfruitful.
Amen.
Now, let's go also, and I got a few minutes. Let's go to, let me get it over here. Let's go to 2 Peter. I think it's chapter 1. Yep, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about the importance of growing, okay? And we're talking about if we have the right or proper faith, it'll bring about growth. This is why it's important to embrace Christ as truth or embrace him as the word. And we just saw here that Christ presented himself as truth, but the response of these people was to reject him because what? They were offended by the word. They were offended by the persecution, the tribulation, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this world system. This is what our fight is. Our fight is not against one another. Our fight is to believe God despite the cares of this world system, despite the deceitfulness of riches, despite the persecutions and the tribulations. We got to fight to believe God when everything around us is contrary to God. This is our fight.
Amen.
Because the enemy fights to keep us. Remember, he wanted to sift Peter as wheat. But Christ said he prayed that Peter would keep Christ and the cross as his total object of faith. I pray that your faith fail not, because when your faith is in the right object, he gives you the power to overcome some things, to overcome resistance.
Amen.
This is why we didn't read verse 23 in Matthew 13, but the last category of hearers, they received the word, and they received it in a good ground, a heart that was already tilled and plowed up by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit because of sin. And they heard the word, they understood the word, and they bear fruit. They brought forth fruit. I should have read that. And it says, let me read it while y'all over there in 2 Peter 9. It says, he who receives seed into the good ground, this is Matthew 13:23, is he who hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some and hundredfold, some 60 and some 30. See that? This is what happens when we embrace him as our total object of faith. We don't care about what people think of us and what I'm going through and all these things. It's about denying myself, picking up the cross, and following him daily. Okay? So in 2 Peter, y'all there yet?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1, read it there.
And let's go down to verse. Let's start at 5 because he's telling us how we're to grow in grace. So when I embrace Christ as truth or Christ in the cross, this is what what's going to happen. I should be adding to my growth. Okay? Verse 5.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So do you see how we're to expand just like David went from killing the lion and the bear to eventually getting to Goliath?
Amen.
Abraham went from leaving and his family, his kindred, to leaving Lot, to separating from Lot, to getting rid of Ishmael and what have you, and eventually offering up Isaac.
Yes, amen.
You can't do this if you leave one undone. If they couldn't embrace him as truth, and when he was dealing with them with the meat and the bread, providing the meat, then there was no more growth until they learned to embrace him as truth. So I can't get ahead of myself. If I'm stuck, if I never passed the test at the one before, I can't go ahead and keep going. This is what we do in religious circles. We ain't passed no test. There we go. I'm called to be this and do this and do that, and then we keep going. We keep going in the flesh. We keep going. But we're not advancing, because if I don't embrace him as truth, then I'm not adding to. See this? What am I adding to? If I don't embrace him as truth, they couldn't add nothing else. They couldn't add no diligence to their salvation. They couldn't add to their faith, virtue. They couldn't add to virtue, knowledge. They couldn't add to knowledge, temperance, self-control. They couldn't add to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. See, patience is a big thing because the flesh wants to get ahead of God or lag behind. And all the time we get ahead of God, we think, let me do this. And God's like, no. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Yeah. See, you can't do all that. We can't do that. If I don't embrace him as truth, none of this. I get none of that.
Ooh, amen.
That's so because I didn't embrace him as truth, I don't see the power of God showing up in my life. So what do? We become religious.
Yep.
We throw in the titles. We build the ministries to make it look like we are where we should be. Mm-hmm. And in reality, there is no growth.
Amen.
And he says, if these things be in you, then they should continue to expand. That's what it means. And abound, they should continue. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. See, you can get more than a university. Nothing wrong with going to school and getting divinity or whatever, but you can get, you limit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, we think, mm-hmm. when we don't have him and he's changing us, we go to put on the, oh, I got, I'm the PhD, H-I-G. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not demeaning it. But I'm saying when you rely on this intellectual stuff, God goes beyond that.
Yes, yes.
He takes you into a realm that's far beyond the knowledge, see, of this world system.
Yes.
It keeps expanding. You can never exhaust it. Now, notice what he says in verse 9, and we're going to have to close on this one, because this is why I want you to see. If we are not growing and not embracing Christ as truth and not allowing him to do his work in us, this is what happens.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
So, what things? Who? But he who lacks what things? The things we just mentioned above. You're not. If you're not growing, you're blind. So those folks that would not embrace Christ as truth, they were blind. It was a willful blindness, and they could not see afar off. So this will happen with you and I. When we refuse to embrace Christ as truth, we are spiritually blind, and we cannot see afar off. You only see what's before you, coronavirus. We only see, and it'll bring fear and doubt, and we stop trusting, and we can't do the will of God because we just blah, blah, blah. But God, and I just use that as an example, because what I mean by that, and it's not just coronavirus, it's whatever is what you're going through, what's immediately before you, that's all you see. That makes sense? Whatever is immediately before you, you cannot see any further. You see only what's before you, and it says you're blind. If you lack these things, you're blind, and you can't see afar off spiritually. So if you can't see afar off, what did he tell the man that when he opened his eyes, he put the mud on his eyes, and he says, oh, he says, how do you see men? He said, as trees. Now, had he stayed in that state, even though his eyes were somewhat, he was blind, but he was somewhat open, he was still, he wasn't seeing clearly.
Right.
He could only see what was before him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when we allow him to change us and continue looking to him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he continues to purge us from all our sins. And our vision becomes more and more clear. So you'll stop looking at this world system the way that you only see before what's before you. So you may only see right before you that things are this way and that person is doing this. But afar off, you will see the bigger picture. God will take you up and you'll get a bird's eye view. And you'll realize the inner workings behind certain things. And you won't be caught up with the personality and charisma of what's before you. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On that note, we're going to have to close. See how fast time went today?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call, but I pray that we've said some things that will help you to grow in your walk. It's so important that we embrace Christ as truth, as the total object of our faith, and that we lay aside our efforts, our strength, and our ability. It is so much easier if we just learn how to rest in him and let him bring about the desired results that he wants in each of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll on next week we'll finish up on this, and I pray that we said some things that will help you and that will grow you up and cause you to realize that it's important to see that the object of faith determines your growth. Where your faith is determines your growth. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.